Hello, my name is Keegan Peck, and this is the Pipeline Project Podcast. How are you doing? Be honest. You don't have to pretend here. How are you doing? If you feel like you're doing great and everything is going well, and you feel like you've got a handle on things, then that's wonderful. I'm excited for you. I am so proud of you. If your answer is that some things just aren't going that great, or you feel like nothing is going well at all, well, then our episode today is for you. It's still for you if everything is going great, because sooner or later, we all go through tough times again. But it's especially for you if you just feel like things aren't going the way they should, and that you're not doing that well. But before we begin, I want to tell you that you're doing so much better than you think you are. We all think less of ourselves than reality would suggest. But I'm proud of you, and I'm proud of all that you're doing. If you're a churchgoer, and have gone for very long, odds are you're familiar with Joseph in the Old Testament. Alternatively, if you're a fan of musical theater, you'll be familiar with Joseph through Andrew Lloyd Webber's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is a great show and, in spite of the liberties taken in order to make it more fun, is actually fairly accurate as far as the story is concerned. But however you might be familiar with Joseph, you know his life was filled with some major ups and downs, and I think his life and his approach to it can teach us some things when we feel like we're failing at life. And if you aren't familiar with the story, I'm going to give a summary of it, but I encourage you to go to Genesis 37 and read it for yourself. He started out as the favorite son, which obviously led to jealousy from his other brothers. And based on what the scripture says, he probably wasn't the best sibling to his brothers because he gave his father a bad report of them and told them some dreams that he had where his brothers were serving him. But he was about 17 years old, so I think he could be given a pass and really didn't deserve for his brothers to sell him into slavery to the Ishmaelites. But that's exactly what they did. So then, he's carted away to Egypt and sold to a man named Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh. Joseph had every right at this point to be upset and to just give up. He was so far away from home and was a slave. What reason did he have to care about anything anymore? But he worked hard nonetheless, and the scripture says that the Lord was with him, and Joseph became successful. And when he did, Potiphar decided to make him his personal servant and head over all that he owned. But then, Potiphar's wife makes false claims against him. All the while, Joseph was doing the right thing and was completely blameless. But it didn't matter. Potiphar had him thrown into prison. Joseph was doing the best he could in his situation as a slave, more than others would have, and it still got him nowhere. While he's in prison, God continues to work through him, and he finds favor with the chief jailer. He's eventually put in charge of all the prisoners, and while he's there, he meets two prisoners, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. They have strange dreams that Joseph interprets for them, one being that the baker would be executed in 3 days, and one that the cupbearer would be restored to his position in 3 days. Joseph asked the cupbearer for one thing, and that was to remember him when he was restored to the king in order to get Joseph out of prison. But when the cupbearer was restored to the king, he forgot about Joseph. He forgot about him for 2 years. Can you imagine that? You just asked this guy to remember you under some pretty memorable circumstances, and 3 days later he just forgets? And it's not like he remembers a few days later. He forgot for 2 whole years. And if you're Joseph, you're probably waiting around for the first couple of weeks thinking, I'm sure he told Pharaoh about me. It's just taking a few days. And you keep thinking that for a while until you finally come to the conclusion that you've been forgotten and nothing is going to change. You are never leaving this place. And for what? For doing the right thing? If you hadn't before, you would probably start to wonder if you actually mattered and if there was a purpose for your existence. But then, after 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream, and his dream troubled him, but there was no one who could interpret it for him. And then, finally, the cupbearer remembered Joseph. Then Joseph was brought out of prison and put before Pharaoh, and God showed Joseph what the dream meant, and Joseph was able to convey this to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's dreams about the coming years of plenty and the following years of great famine. And when Pharaoh heard this, he made Joseph in charge of all the kingdom, second only to Pharaoh. And Joseph made preparations for the years of famine by collecting food during the good years. Joseph saved an untold number of people because of where he found himself at that moment. Because he was right where God wanted him to be at just the right time. And his story didn't end there. He saved his father and his brothers and their families. All of this came about after years of life treating Joseph completely unfairly. At least, unfairly as we would see it. But us having the benefit of hindsight would tell us that there was something more at work. He didn't just find himself in those situations. He was placed there for a reason. He had to have thought so many times that his life was just not going right and that it was spiraling out of control. At least, I would have. He probably thought his life was amounting to absolutely nothing when he found himself in prison, especially after doing the right thing and trying to live for God. But what we see is that God is still with him every step of the way, and Joseph did the best he could with what he had each time, no matter how bleak it looked. Maybe Joseph's story can serve as an example to us, that even if it seems that no matter what we do, life just isn't going the way we want it to. Maybe it's going exactly how it's supposed to. Maybe we just need to readjust our vision and try to see what's around us and what we can do with where we find ourselves at the time. Maybe we aren't the failures that we think we are just because life isn't going the way it was supposed to. Maybe this is exactly where we're meant to be, and we need to ask God how He wants to use us at this time. If you're following God, then I promise you're not a failure, no matter what is going on. That's easier to say than believe, I know. I struggle with it a lot. But if we can see our lives the way our Heavenly Father does, even if only in seldom fleeting glimpses at a time, then we can start to see that there's always a bigger picture and always a bigger plan in motion. God wants what is best for us, but that won't always be what is comfortable. It won't always be what is most pleasant or easy, but it will be what is best. Not only best for us, but best for His plans. His plans always have been and always will be for the salvation of mankind, the salvation of you and me, for the salvation of your family, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors. We must be like Joseph and shine God's light no matter where we are. And when we're disappointed and discouraged, we have to remember two things. That God has a plan, and that He cares for us. And if those two things are true, then how can we ever be failures? If you would like to get in touch with us, and we would love it if you would, you can reach us at feedback@thepipelineproject.com. If you enjoy the show, please spread the word. We'd love to continue to grow our audience. Be sure to subscribe to the show to have it delivered right to your device. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. It'll help more people find our show. Watch for future episodes released on Sundays. See you next time. Thanks for listening.